Okay. What a gifted band.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Taking us into Lord's presence with singing. Yes. Just like was read there, Psalm 100. Well, take your Bible and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Two verses that I'd like to leave with you today. Hebrews 13 is the book that it was written to struggling Christians who were tempted to retreat back to their former way of life. And this is actually a sermon. We have 13 chapters, but it was a long sermon. But it was preached and written, so it's kind of a sermon slash book that we have here. But the writer's intent was to encourage them to press on and to not give up, as you see in chapter 12. But here's how the writer closes this book with these two verses, 20 and 21, says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I wanted to leave you with this. I think it's fitting to ask God to place his blessing upon Fellowship Bible Church and upon Pastor Todd and Sue. And God takes blessings very seriously, by the way. And what you find in Scripture is that when they are given, when they're pronounced over, spoken over people, the Lord listens to that. It's important for you to not just blow it aside, so it's just a courtesy. It's not. And in fact, when Jesus took the children in his arms, and he sat them on his lap and he blessed them, you might wonder what blessing he may have spoken over them. What do you think he said? It's possible that he gave the same blessing that you find in the book of Numbers, the Aaronic blessing, because that blessing actually came from the Lord himself in the Old Testament. And this is that blessing is may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. This is how you are to bless the Israelites, said the Lord. I mean, if that was from the Lord himself, like these are the five things that are most important if you're going to bless somebody, it wouldn't surprise me whether when those little kids were sitting on the lap of Jesus that he spoke that over them. And that would have been a wonderful thing. Five things that God is prepared to do and desires to do for us. One of them is to protect us, that his face shine upon us, that he be gracious to us, to look upon us with favor and give us peace. Can you think of any five better things in life? I mean, people are chasing after this and that and thinking that's what's going to make them happy. But God knows what really gives us satisfaction and fulfillment in life. And so Aaron spoke this blessing over the Israelites because he was confident that if this is the blessing from God himself, then this is the will of God. And so we also share that kind of confidence. This is the kind of blessing that you see in the book of Numbers 6 that identifies a person as being God's possession. It's not for everybody. It's not a blessing for everybody. It's a blessing that's spoken over those who are identified as God's special possession. And I think that's how we understand blessings. Blessings are more than just saying good luck to somebody or may the wind be at your back. That's not what we're talking about here. Blessings are more than just nice things to say. Blessings are about what is most important in life, that God himself has the capacity and desires to give to us. Therefore, I want to bless you today. And in addition to what we see in the book of Numbers is this particular benediction or blessing that we find in the book of Hebrews. And this is the will of God. We can speak this understanding that this is the desire that God has for Fellowship Bible and for each individual here. And the core of the blessing goes like this. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good to do His will. And that's how I want to bless you today. May the God of peace equip each of you, in everything good to do His will. Because in the end, no matter what the resources of this church may be, without God, it's all wood, hay, and stubble if you don't rely upon Him. If it's done within the power of the flesh or because, you know, you've got a strategy or marketing kind of thing and you know, we didn't do it out of the flesh, then it's all for nothing. But God has the capacity to help us to accomplish what He calls us to do. Think about this in the Old Testament. How many times do you see when it is said of a person that God was with him, God was with her, that ordinary people accomplished extraordinary things? Moses was unwilling to lead the Israelites to the promised land if he didn't have the assurance that the Lord himself would be with them. This was after the whole debacle there at Mount Sinai with the golden calf. And God said, well, I'll send an angel with you. Moses said, I'm not going to take another step unless you yourself go with us. You know, and God agreed, I will go with you. And we see elsewhere that Nehemiah understood that rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem would have been impossible if God did not help them and accomplish it through them. It says of King David, before he was actually king, that the Lord was with him and everything he did was successful because the Lord was with him. We could go on and on. We could talk about Joseph and that the Lord was with him when he was in Potiphar's household. So the blessing of Hebrews 13 is a prayer of asking for God's presence here and asking for His strength and His ability to, and His equipping so that no matter what the task may be for the church or for individuals, that you won't yourself have a hesitation or fear or just because it's different or it's unknown to you as an individual. Sometimes there's an opportunity that comes your way. It's offered to you. Well, I've never done that before. Well, God equips us for that task. And it's a beautiful thing that the way that he does that. He's equipped me to do what I do. And He's equipped you as well. In the coming years, the plans of God will be for this church open doors of opportunity. And it will require more than just the skill set that this church provides. That there will have to be forced to be relying upon Him. Because if all it amounts to is that we got this done ourselves, then where is the faith in all of that? Where's the reliance upon God? And so by faith, we press forward. Now, given this blessing and given what He desires to do, on what basis are we assured that God is prepared to do this? Well, first of all, we see here why God is prepared to do this for us. Why is He prepared to bless us? And it says, the God of peace who raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? Well, we understand as we read Romans and Ephesians and others that God loved us so much that He Himself took responsibility to make peace between ourselves and Him, knowing that it would be impossible for any human being, sinful as we are, to somehow achieve reconciliation with God unless God didn't do it for us. Amen. we wouldn't be reconciled to him. So he took it upon himself to accomplish this through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, because the barrier of our sin left us as enemies of God and under his wrath and his condemnation. And so God took it upon himself to reconcile us and to make us friends and no longer enemies. And on that basis, because he is the God of peace, we have peace with him because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is prepared to bless us and can do so and desires to do so. Romans 5:8 says, God proved his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now we know we have peace with God. We don't have to wonder. And God is ultimately prepared and desires to bless us and to equip us for every good work. And that's the ground of our confidence. And the resources, what resources does God tap into? What is the vault that he reaches into, the treasure house? Well, the treasure house includes all of the power that was required to raise Jesus from the dead. That's why it states it, that the God of peace who raised Jesus from the dead, he's the one who equips us. Therefore, we could say it like this, that if God raised Jesus from the dead with limitless power, then there is nothing that we face that is too hard for him. And he will equip us for every good work. No barrier is set forth that he cannot overcome. No roadblock that he cannot remove. No door that is closed that he cannot open. And the same God who made peace between ourselves and him has the unlimited power to do for us what we can't do ourselves. So whatever the opportunity, whatever the challenge, whatever circumstances and roadblock that may say, I don't know we can do that, will we rely upon the same God who desires to bless us and has provided this in this benediction? But secondly, consider who goes before us. Who's the one leading the way? And we read here that the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, he's the one who leads us. This is the same shepherd as in Psalm 23:3. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. He's called the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd. Not just the shepherd, but the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5, he's called the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd and he's the chief shepherd because he has a name that is above every other name. And it's not just a title, it's a position of authority and power. And so he's the one who leads us. Do you see why there's nothing that he cannot do, no matter what the challenge may be in the future? Now, I can't claim to be a great shepherd. I'm certainly not a chief shepherd. Neither is Pastor Todd or the elders. There's a lot of celebrity pastors out there and some very gifted pastors, but none of them are great. There's only one great shepherd and one chief shepherd. And so it gives us a lot of comfort knowing that the chief shepherd and the great shepherd is the one who is leading Fellowship Bible Church. He's the one who's pointing the direction and we follow him. He's great in that he never makes a mistake. He never needs a road map, knows exactly where he's going. He has infinite knowledge and wisdom and love and goodness. He never makes an error. And if we are following the chief shepherd and the great shepherd, then we will not be lost. And we won't misuse what God has given to us. And then finally, what this benediction considers is, to what end is this leading us? What's the outcome of all of this? And it says, to whom be glory forever and ever. So that the acclaim and the applause is given to God. Now, I understand that there's a lot of ministries that really don't operate that way. They operate with the applause, and the recognition is more to the church themselves or a personality. But here, according to this scripture, that is wrong, that the glory belongs to Jesus himself. And even unbelievers, even those who are unsaved, when God is the one doing the blessing, they can't help but step back and say, something about that has the fingerprints of God, Amen. Almighty God on that. This was true in the ministry of Jesus. When he taught, it tells us that the people were astounded at how he taught and what he said. When he touched the leper and the untouchables of that society, he did things that nobody else did and healed them. And they went away rejoicing. When he healed the demoniac of the demons, he said, go back to your people, go back to your town, and tell them what God has done for you. Let the glory be to the Lord. And the wind and the waves obeyed him. And even when he died on the cross, it was the Roman centurion who gave glory to God and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. So when the Lord is in it and he's the one who's involved, his presence and power, then the glory goes to him automatically. You don't have to instruct people. It just happens because he's there. When God equips us for everything good to do his will, we find Psalm 115, verse 1 fulfilled. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Well, when I look back over the years, I see evidence of God's faithfulness. He's the one who has led us week by week to green pastures, and granted that I filled the role most of the time as the teaching pastor, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who leads us to green pastures. I'm just a mouthpiece, but it's the Lord himself who does all of that and accomplishes that. He's the one who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's the one who is the same great shepherd who's been leading us all along over these years. And he's been so good to us. You know, there have been times that people have said, you know, I feel like the presence of the Lord is in this place. And we're not talking about energy and noise or anything like that. There's a sense that God himself is among us. And that's the blessing of God, to bring together families as we see. And how many, and I tell my kids this, I said, you know, we are so blessed with so many dynamite families. Gail and I will talk about this. I think, you know, I guess it maybe it's birds of a feather flock together, but, you know, the same values that we see are of parents who are committed to training up and modeling what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you agree that you see that as you look around and you look at some of the moms and dads who are here with young children? I see that as a pastor, and it just blesses me to see what God has been doing among us and how he's equipped us with just the right people, beginning with those that serve boots on the ground week by week in all kinds of different ways across this congregation, to those who are even paid staff like Jim and Sue and Michael, Melissa, and of course the role that I've enjoyed over the years, and those who host and who lead our Connect groups, and all of this is something that is a testimony to God's favor. He has brought us together to be able to accomplish this. And I'm confident that the same blessing that we have seen over the years is something that will be shared by Pastor Todd in the ministry that he has before you. Well, God has been faithful to us, and my wife and I, Gail and I, have been so grateful for your warm friendship. Blessed by the ministry here. This has been a dynamite church. We knew this was a special place when we moved here, We had come from, I don't know if anybody watching, you know how that goes, but it was a kind of a dysfunctional church. Sorry about that. But it was.
Amen.
And I don't even know if they exist anymore. But still in all, we came here. We were super, super blessed. Our oldest, and maybe some of you are asking, you know, what are you going to do? And some of you even asked us, well, what are you going to do now? What are you and Gail going to do? Well, we've got four children. For one thing, and some of you may not know that because you're fairly new here, you don't know much about our family. But we have four children. Our oldest, she was only in eighth grade going into high school when we arrived. And in fact, I don't know whether Holly, you had any of my kids in your class, but you know, she was middle school. And along with Dee Bell and some wonderful church people that were at the middle school. And so she was going into high school at that time, and now she's got four children of her own. And they live in Hanover, Pennsylvania, and the church is just across the southern border there of Pennsylvania, just across into Maryland. She and her husband's the pastor of Manchester Baptist Church. And they're meeting this morning, he's preaching. And they've already lined us up 2 weeks from today. We'll be at that church because they have Vacation Bible School Sunday. And so we will be with them in a couple of weeks. And he's offered and extended the opportunity to let his father-in-law preach, which I've never done before in that church. They probably wouldn't even know who I am. But I'll show up that Sunday and maybe have a chance to preach. And then we have another son. His name is Adam. And he lives in Greene County, or his church is in Greene County, Virginia, which is just straight east of here on Route 33, as you head east, and just north of Charlottesville. And we will live about 5 minutes from him and about 5 minutes from his church, too. They're in opposite directions there, but and he's got three children. And so he's pastoring and preaching today at Legacy Church in Greene County, Virginia. And our third child is Nathan, and he lives in Forest, Virginia, which is about a couple hours away. And he has two children and a dynamite family, love the Lord. And he's working down there in a couple hours away. And then our youngest son, which probably most of you who were here a few years ago, you know who Matthew is, or he goes by Matt, but I still call him Matthew. And he has a church that's just 20 minutes from where we will be living, north. So we have to flip a coin to see where we'll be going to church. On that particular Sunday, either our youngest son, who's got a little small country, predominantly country church in Madison County, Virginia. And it's beautiful. It's right there where the Shenandoah Mountains are. So you have that wide, wide valley where the Shenandoah Mountains are. So that's where we will be. We've got he's got one child and one on the way, which if you do the math, it's about 11 grandchildren by the time December rolls around, which is plenty to keep us busy. Now, in addition to that, how will I keep myself personally occupied? Well, of course, you've got the preachers in the family already, and I have a whole file full of sermons I can draw from and update and improve. I will be starting my own study for my next series, whatever that's at in the book of John. So I have all that set aside. Where I'll preach it, I don't know yet. But it'll be there. It's going to be in the hopper. And so I'll start working through the Gospel of John and provide a sermon series through that in the coming months. So I'll be starting that series, studying that next week, God willing. So that's, I don't have a lot of clarity in all of that, but I imagine that my ministry, either in the community or among our children, will be more of a support ministry. So I hope to continue to be able to preach. And how regular that is has not been made clear to me, but I hope to be able to preach regularly within that community. So we'll see how it goes in the coming months and years. And God willing, we'll have a chance to be with our grandchildren, do some traveling, and ministry right there in the community. So that's what's ahead, God willing. He's in charge for the future. So in case you're wondering how I'll be occupied, that's what we're doing. Anyway. But as always, we give all of the praise to the Lord. He's been so good to me. I'll tell you, He really, really has. I have been so blessed with a team of people here who have freed me up to do what I love to do more than anything else, and that is to teach the Bible. I love to teach the Bible to people who want to learn. I'm not really interested in teaching people who don't want to learn. That just feels like it's a waste of time. But if you really desire to learn, call me, and say, yeah, I'll be there. And that's what I've done for 25 years here. It's been a great ride over these years. But the team that we have at this church, and so many, and the elder team, godly men, have freed me up to be able to do this. And I got the best job there is to be able to do this. And I just absolutely love it. And I would come in early in the morning and just sit and soak and read and study and pray. And it was a blast. And I hope that it continues in some capacity in the future. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being your pastor. Thank you for actually coming and being here week by week, and allowing me to open God's Word. As I tell my boys, I said, open God's Word. And read it before the congregation. Read it out loud. Whether it's a whole chapter or a portion, read the Bible before the congregation. And then explain it. What does it mean? And then apply it. Why is this important? And what difference is this going to make? And if you do that, your people will be well fed and they will come back, because they're not hearing that in a lot of places. Amen. They're just not. They're not. They're hearing some devotional sometimes. And so that's my charge to them. And I continue that mantra every time I see them, whether it be David or Matt or Adam. I say, preach God's Word. Don't you be veering off the path of that. Don't you do that. And so anyway, well, enough of that. Let me pray. Our God, we're so grateful as we look back across the landscape of the years, and we see evidence that you have always been with us. And there have been challenges before us. Every one of them, you've walked us through it. Sometimes we felt a little overwhelmed in the moment, but you were there and you helped us, and you were so good. We're confident as Pastor Todd comes and Sue and the staff that we have here, that Fellowship Bible Church will prosper only because of their reliance upon you and the blessing that you provide. So God, we pray that you, as the God of peace, would equip this church with everything good to do your will. And we can pray that with confidence because we have the peace with you provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the great and precious promises that are ours. And Lord, we ask that you would put your hand of favor upon the team, the worship team that is present here today, and upon the staff, upon Pastor Todd and Sue. God bless them mightily. In the years to come, may we hear reports of the difference that Fellowship Bible Church is making in the north central region of West Virginia. Because it has stood fast and stood tall and stood strong on an unwavering commitment to the inerrant, infallible, plenary work of Word of God. And I pray that this would be your stamp upon this church in years to come, generations to come, that we would always hear that this is a church that loves you, loves your Word, and never, ever loses its first love for Jesus Christ. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.